A ze mną na łączach internetowych Ethan Raymond, frontman amerykańskiego zespołu The Soft, z którym będziemy rozmawiać o wypuszczonym 13 marca krążku Gold Star. Hello and thank you for joining to this interview.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've released the Debut album, so let's start by explaining about the band, how this band was formed.
Sure. Well, I knew Sam from my graduating class in high school, and around that same age, even though they're a little bit older than me, I knew Austin and Seth from when I was about 15 as well, and we were familiar with each other through the Phoenix, Arizona music scene, and we, you know, had all created music together in some capacity, and we moved out to LA under the pretenses of different bands and decided to just do that. And as the quality of the Soaps got better and better as this back burner artist project, so did our bands dissipate in a way. And the Soaps was all we were left with. And thankfully so, because we met Cole, our bass player, and Devin, our drummer, and now we're here, you know? So it really started. It's a band years in the making, even though it doesn't appear as such.
One of the defining features after you're listening to the album is that there's no rich musical formula, that you've got a mix of many genres musicians. We've got indie rock, sometimes we have electronic, some flamenco, some Russian sounds. And I wonder, how broad is your musical spectrum?
Actually, I love a wide variety of music. I listen to a good amount of Russian, Ukrainian, and Hungarian music, actually, that inspired a great deal of what's on Gold Star. Artists like Anna German, Mark Bernays, stuff like that. Them mixed with Tom Waits, a healthy dose of artists like Bright Eyes, other emo adjacent acts, and it kind of led to this wonderful eclecticism that we showcase very well on Gold Star.
And was there a musical style that you wanted to incorporate into your work but for some reason didn't fit?
I think, honestly, we were pretty spread thin on Gold Star. We didn't fail to incorporate anything that we didn't, you know? Like, every single thing that we did on Gold Star was the capacity of the genre-skipping capabilities that we had, you know? We couldn't really do anything else.
In a press release, we can read, "I want to steal, plagiarize, and borrow." And what exactly you can steal, plagiarize, and borrow musically, of course?
Yeah, so that was a big prerogative on Gold Star, was being able to... Well, you know, there are a lot of artists nowadays that base their whole ethos around nostalgia, but try to do so clandestinely, try to hide their hand about their influences and stuff like that. And I thought, you know, what if we abided by the same formula, but we were less guided by shame? You know, we were less guided by this need to hide our influences, and we kind of flipped the whole thing on its head. And we said, what if we just put our influences right in front of everybody, and in some twisted way, it made the project more original, you know?
Your band signed a contract with the label Rough Trade that took notice of you right away. In press release, we can read that label's executives were drawn to your uncompromising honesty and the passionate, sometimes intrusive thoughts in your lyrics. The last thing is very interesting. What's the deal with these intrusive thoughts in lyrics?
Oh, I think lyrics in some way, because my role in the band is that of the singer, you know? I don't do anything else but sing. And so I have nothing else to focus on besides my voice and lyrics. And when that's the case, I have to do them well. I feel a certain pressure. And more so than a musician, I feel as though words are everything to me, and I have to respect them. And so I treat words with the utmost importance. I love words. I love literature. I love writing. I consider myself more of a writer than a musician. And I think Rough Trade saw that capacity in the songwriting. And they saw that eclecticism and they saw that commitment to prose and poetry. And they chose to take the ball and run with it. And I can't disrespect them for that, you know?
Now focus on the album Gold Star, which was released on Friday, March 13. And I will start with a simple question. Do you believe in that kind of superstition? And didn't you have any doubts that it would bring your bad luck because Friday the 13th and etc.?
You know, superstition is something that if I ever let get to me, it's done so reluctantly. The album actually has pretty good luck on the contrary, and I know it's a slow debut for us. It certainly is a debut record. I mean, you can't hold it to the standard of these massive releases that came out the same day. Like, I never played guitar in Sonic Youth, but regardless, if you look at the critical reception, if you look at the amount of new fans that we've been able to amass just this past week between dropping this album, playing live, I feel like that defeats any superstition that I may have had about the exact date. Also, when I was a kid, you know, 13 was my lucky number. It's a thing for me.
I like to find little gems in the details, Easter eggs. So I wonder about the title. What is this titular Gold Star?
Yeah, so Gold Star, it's kind of a physical totem of what the album represents, and that being some sort of intangible validation from the world that you never quite seem to get, you know, and that's in all of our physical marketing, the star is red because the gold star does not exist. It's a thumbs up from the world that you're constantly striving to get, but you just never quite can. And it drives you crazy, and you start acting on behalf of that validation, so much so that it undermines the goodness of your actions.
I wonder, what about the track list? Because 10 tracks we've got, and 6 of these were released before the premiere. Gold Star, Sweat, Sweet Pie, Death in the Family, House, I Am Your Fiend. And
yes.
I wonder, what was the reasoning behind revealing this increasingly large slice of the pie? I've got a thought that in release day, we've got only 4 uncommon this moment tracks from this album.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, that's a classic case of, not to quote the album, but they told me to jump, I said how high, you know, that's a label decision. And I love every song equally, so if a label that has invested more money in me than I have ever had in my possession in my entire life tells me to drop 6 songs and 6 specific songs on the record, for my first record, when I have absolutely zero leverage as I do, I'm going to do that, you know? So that was the label's decision, and I'm not here to argue it.
I must go back to the musical styles because I thought that we've got so much fun after first listening. About fun, we'll go back in a moment. I wonder how much musical improvisation can we find on this album?
You know, actually, surprisingly little. I think the epitome of our musical improvisation on the album came from the song They Told Me to Jump, I Said How High. Everything else was pretty meticulously planned out and expanded from an already written song, and then the instruments came from there. They built kind of an instrumental world around it. I wrote the song at first, whether it was me or just me and Sam on vocals and chords, and then we brought it to everybody else in the band. So there is, besides They Told Me to Jump, which is all recorded live, there is a lack of improvisation. But that being said, everything on the album, we wrote and recorded in the very same day. You know, so even though we aren't making those live improvisational choices that, you know, it may sound like we are, we still, everything was spur of the moment, everything was impulsive, and we don't regret any of it. And all of the mixes, all of the recordings, they're all same day.
What stories can be found on tracks on Gold Star?
Stories, tracks, I think they all boil down to the narrator that we're trying to really give a character study of on the record. I think, you know, we're trying to paint this picture, this blown up version of what I perceive to be or to have been the worst parts of myself. And we're trying to blow that person up, give them a proper character study, and have their perspective be coherent and cohesive throughout the 10-song track list. I think, I don't know, I saw parts of myself that were superficial, that were vapid, that were hateful, performative. And I really answered the question for myself, what if those parts of myself grew out of me like a tumor and really became their own person?
Let's talk about the technical side of working on the debut album. There was any difficult to create, or all was done very fast, very easily?
I mean, we were very fortunate enough. I mean, we are very fortunate enough that both of our guitar players, Seth and Austin, are excellent engineers and producers. And so that never really has been an issue for us on the technical side of things, because not only is everybody a proficient player, but they are an excellent engineer. And we did outsource to a buddy of ours, Raul Lopez, who mixed the album to completion and did a wonderful job. But even in their demo forms and even putting them in their original DAWs and sessions and stuff like that, Austin and Seth are competent enough producers to have been able to have things go over smoothly.
Okay, and next question about musical genres. And we've got some favorite tracks, and I've got one question about a track. Which of this from this album required the most work to fit perfectly into your sound of the Soffs?
I don't know. Not to answer your question with an incomplete answer, but creating the record, they all felt natural. There wasn't one that was particularly, a stretch of genres or capabilities or anything like that. And I don't think any of them were particularly a challenge, because we knew what we had to say, and we knew we had the capability to have fun on the sonic side of things. And so despite the sonic disparity between the songs on the record, it really just wasn't, none of them were quite difficult to make.
Okay, and
or none of them were a stretch.
After listening, I will repeat this thing that say a few minutes ago. I got the impression that you had a lot of fun creating this material, especially with the song "I'm Your Fan" and the part "la la 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 la." And I thought that did you really have fun doing this album?
Yeah, I mean, it was so spur of the moment. It was so fun. All the guys in the band just love each other so goddamn much, you know. We had so much fun creating, being in the same space as each other, existing in that musical capacity, seeing what we all could do. I wouldn't have traded it for anything else in the world, and I truly, truly loved it. So we had so much fun.
The most honest song is "House," the last single we're promoting this album. But I was most intrigued by the two songs that deal with death, death in the family, and the dog dies in the end. And what is your approach to this topic, to the topic of death?
I think both of those songs were less so about death and more so about really tapping into a character, like I was mentioning previously. I think I don't know. It's less so about me and my personal feelings about death, which I'm not sure I've really given myself a clear answer about, and more so just about thinking who I was trying to convey, what they would think about death. It is, you know, in more ways than one, just a testament to the character study and those aspects of the whole record.
And a few words about the cover. We see a mysterious character with a star tattoo on their neck. I won't hide the fact that the character Hitman was partly the inspiration from the video game. However, it intrigued me the character. Who is it and what does the cover symbolize?
Which video game are you referring to?
Hitman.
Oh, Hitman. I've never played that, but that's very cool. So actually, I based the cover off of the artwork Not to Be Reproduced by Magritte, and I had the opportunity to go see Magritte, that very same artwork, in Brussels the last time that I was there. That piece of art has inspired me a lot, and I thought it was a fun, tongue-in-cheek kind of play on itself, quite literally reproducing a piece of art called Not to Be Reproduced. And so it is based off that painting.
And your favorite track that isn't a single?
Favorite track that isn't a single? I think all of my favorite tracks aren't singles. Funny enough, I right now at this moment in time, I am a fan of the track Blitzed Again. I love how it kind of melts into this kind of Slavic chant section, this Nagoon. And I think that contrasts the musicality of the rest of it very, very well.
Now let's focus on the tour, which has already begun. We are meeting before your show in Washington, if I good notice. And how does the band perform live? Is it a song that you play standard in like a album, or is again we've got a new mix that the persons who are in the shows will be expect?
Yeah, we play our whole album. Sometimes we do different versions of our record, but we do play the whole record every single show that we do. We do some covers that we try to make our own to the best of our capability. And every single show we try to transfuse with enough energy to keep people engaged the entire time, and we have a great time doing it. And it's a lot of work. It's very difficult, but it's very rewarding too.
The band will also be in Europe, but on the list there isn't our nation, Poland. Is there a chance we'll see your band in our country in the future?
I would absolutely love to. I mean, I love Poland. I have some family on my dad's side from there. It truly just boils down to whatever agents, whatever the suits think is a good fit for us. And I doubt that they won't be having us over there anytime soon. And once we are over there, I think it'll be a great time, and I absolutely cannot wait. So.
And we are so close to the end. So last question it is, have you found the gold star? Or is the search still ongoing?
No, I think the whole point of the gold star is that you can't find it. I doubt that anybody in our band has as well. You know, we're in such a space, especially as musicians in this modern age, where we're subject to every other musician's statistics, successes, failures. We're so lambasted by our own statistics and successes and failures. And so, no, I don't think anything close to a gold star quite tangibly is possible for us right now. But we're working on it, and maybe one day we will.
Okay, so I wish you good luck during the tour, and of course, good luck in searching of the gold star. Ivan Reman.
I wish you good luck as well.
Okay, Ivan Reman, wokalista i frontman zespołu The Soves, był gościem radia UWM FM. Rozmawialiśmy o debiutanckim albumie Gold Star. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.